Now we get a surprise, my friend, by Paul in verse 27 of Romans chapter 3, because he says something that we simply don't expect. Is pride our problem, or is guilt our problem? This is Colin Cook, and This Is How It Happens, a broadcast on the grace of God for men and women in struggle with all the problems of life and their addictive struggles and their obsessive thoughts, troubles that lead us to a lot of guilt and shame. But is it really guilt and shame we have? Or is it pride? Let's look at this. Thanks for joining me today, then, and we are looking at Romans chapter 3, verse 27, and Paul says, where is boasting, then? Now, what brings this question on? Well, he has pointed out, you see, that God has done a work in Christ that has taken all the guilt and the shame and the judgment of sin upon himself in Christ. God has put the whole judgment of sin upon himself in Christ instead of upon us. So you might then expect Paul to say, so then, where's your guilt, my friend? Don't worry about it anymore, because Christ has taken it upon the cross. But you see, Paul doesn't say that. He says, not where's your guilt then, but where is boasting then? Well, where does that come from? Well, of course, we've heard Paul talk about the condition of the pagan man in chapter 1 of Romans, and then the condition of the religious man in chapter 2 of Romans. And as we see Paul dealing with all of this stuff in Romans chapter 2, it's very evident that he's talking about the Jews' pride in the law, not the Jews' shame in the law. But then you think to yourself, well, that doesn't apply to me. But, you know, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and of course, when I do these radio broadcasts, they hit me like a ton of bricks sometimes, right in the middle of the teaching. I don't sit here with a bunch of notes that I wrote 20 years ago and simply recite this off to you. This message that I'm giving you is dynamic from the word go, because I'm approaching these verses just at the same moment that you're approaching them. And I begin to see connections that I haven't seen before, my friends, and here's one of them. That when Paul is saying, where is boasting then? He's taking us right back, of course, to chapter 1 and chapter 2. Well, what are those chapters about? The strange problems of Jews as opposed to the rest of the world? No, not at all. He's talking about the universal condition of man, both the pagan man in chapter 1 and the religious man in chapter 2. And what is the essence of both of them? What's the dynamic, the spiritual and psychological dynamic of both of them? Independence and pride from God. Independence from God and pride towards themselves. Man in chapter 1 is worshipping himself, because having suppressed God, of whom they're afraid, they then must have something to worship, because they're born worshippers. That's an innate quality God has given all mankind, and so they worship themselves. Then chapter 2 is a similar form of pride and independence, where Jewish people are possessed of this pride in the law, that they own the law. The law doesn't condemn them, they own it. Well, you might say, how does that apply to me? Well, could we possibly look at this? That in your struggle with addiction, in which you feel so guilty and ashamed for having failed to keep the law, you are actually, or possibly, priding yourself in your independence of God. Now, I'm not here as a judge of anyone. I'm talking to myself as well as to you. But I know this, that over the years, my tendency has been to become independent of God when all things go well, and terribly dependent upon him when all things go badly. My tendency is to want to live without him, even as a Christian and religious man. I want to open the computer first before I open my Bible. I want to look at the TV in the morning, the news, before I want to talk to God. I want to be brief in my prayer instead of long. I'm not saying that I must be long in order to be received by God, but I'm saying there is this tendency to live independently of Him. It's the nature, it is my human nature. Now, do you see that as connected with boasting? Isn't boasting about being able to manage very well ourselves, thank you? But you see, you and I will find that very difficult to believe that that applies to us, because we have become legalists, haven't we? What is a legalist? Well, on one side of the picture, a legalist is someone who feels constantly that he needs to obey God in order to be saved. He needs to produce good works in order for God to accept him. But he is very aware that the good works he has are not good works. They're not good enough. They're not righteous enough. They're not repentant enough. They're not sincere enough. They're not surrendered and dedicated enough. So, you see, the person in this legalism is very shamed and very guilt-ridden. But, my friend, that is only one side of the coin. Because why should the man in the first place be constantly attempting to keep the law in order to be approved by God? The answer? Because he really believes he can do it and that he just needs to try a bit more. And so the arrogance of the man who is a legalist is that he really believes he can do this. Do you see, then, that we are kidding ourselves a little bit when we say, well, I'm so ashamed and I'm so guilt-ridden and I'm unworthy of God because I have not succeeded in overcoming this alcohol problem or this drug problem or this sex problem, and I am so ashamed and I am unworthy to be a Christian. That's only one side of the story, because on the other deceptive side of ourselves, my friend, the very fact that we keep trying indicates a tendency to boasting, indicates the bluff. We really do believe that we can obey. We really do believe that sin is so trivial enough, so small a problem enough in our lives, that all it takes is a little bit of whitewash, a little bit of brushing up, a little bit of extra effort, and we can do it. Now, I hope this is hitting you like a 2x4. Not to make you feel guilty, but to open your eyes. Well, I guess a 2x4 doesn't really open your eyes, it closes them. But, you know, that's where the similes fall down. But, you see, don't be fooled by yourself. The legalist is not simply someone slinking around, head bowed, tail between his legs, in shame, wringing his hands in anxiety. The legalist is also strutting around, really thinking that he can pull this off, that he can actually accomplish this thing. And with a little more effort, a little more dedication, a little more Bible reading, a little more church attendance, a few more meetings stacked in his pocket, that he can pull off this righteousness. So, my friend, Paul makes it clear through what God has done in reconciling the world to himself by taking the judgment upon himself instead of placing it upon man, so that God can declare a man innocent even when he is not, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. That's 3 verse 26. He demonstrates by this that the Salvation Act has been completely taken out of the hands of man. Therefore, there is no room or place for boasting. There is no basis in man for trying harder in order to be accepted by God. Do you get it? So, you see, we then are brought to this place. All the time, I have been trying to overcome my addiction in order to get some sense of peace established between me and God. Oh, what pride! Oh, what arrogance! Oh, what delusion! I have made my addiction a little thing that merely has to be overcome in order to get peace with God. And I have made sin a little thing that simply needs cropping off here and there so that I can touch up my life and be okay. And I have made grace a little thing by thinking that it isn't to do with what God has done, but with what I must do, so that I get grace, not really as grace, but as a reward for what I've accomplished. Now, when we get that attitude, we lose all gratitude. And gratitude is the basis upon which I walk in increased freedom, because I love someone. When one develops gratitude, one develops love. But boasting is the very opposite of that, and is simply a Christian's religious narcissism. Now, friends, where does this take us? Well, you may have been wringing your hands for years as a Christian, feeling so unworthy, feeling so guilty, feeling that you should be more dedicated and holy. And perhaps that's the way you've approached God. Oh, please help me, Lord God, to overcome this thing. Please help me to be more dedicated. Well, you know, you might need to change that praying altogether. You might need to start saying, Father, I have been bluffing all along. I didn't know. I was bluffing myself, and I've been bluffing you. The fact is, I am full of self-dependence and pride, because I have not thought of your righteousness as necessary for me. I have thought that I simply needed to complete my righteousness by more overcoming. I have not thought that I had a truly sinful nature. All I thought was that I had a nature that simply needed topping off with a bit more goodness. I have not thought that I needed to rely on your completed propitiatory sacrifice. All I have thought is that I needed to appease you instead of having you appease yourself. I thought that by overcoming a little more, I would satisfy you and appease you and create peace. Oh, Father, what a prideful man and woman I have been. My goodness, my friend. Where is boasting then in the light of Jesus' sacrifice for my sins? Time to change our prayer life. What do you think? I'll see you next time, my friend. Cheerio and God bless.